Thank you. We're very thankful for the carols being played by Laura and the children and Ken. Very fitting and very appropriate, very nice to listen to, prepare our hearts for the service tonight. We do welcome you all to the evening gospel service on this Christmas Day. We're glad of your presence with us. We're going to sing some of the verses of number 81 as we commence the meeting tonight. See in yonder manger low, born for us on earth below. See the Lamb of God appears, promised from eternal years. We'll sing the first four verses just of the hymn, verses 1 to 4, and we'll stand together as we sing, please. Just commit our meeting to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we approach your throne of grace in our Savior's name, praying that you'll come down upon our meeting tonight. We pray that the power of the highest might overshadow us in this service this evening, as it was those many years ago when our Savior was born. I want to pray, Father, that in our gathering tonight, that we'll be conscious both of the presence and the power of the Savior. We pray that you'll come and tabernacle amongst us. We pray that we'll know the Lord to be here tonight. Lord, come and fill this house with your presence and with your glory. Remember, the scriptures tell us the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And Lord, our prayer would be you'll come and dwell amongst us. Come and dwell in our midst tonight. We ask thee to own this meeting. We pray for the hand of God to be upon it. We thank you for the doors of thy house open on this Sabbath evening. Lord, remember all that are gathered. Bless and encourage every heart that's present in this service tonight. May each one know the nearness of the Lord and your hand upon them. And Lord, may each one of us be conscious just of the power of God in our midst, the speaking voice of God being heard. Lord, we ask thee to speak to our hearts tonight. We would plead in that prayer that Samuel was taught to pray, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." We ask thee, Father, to settle us as we come to the outset of the meeting tonight. We want to pray, take away, Lord, all those thoughts that would distract us, even all those thoughts and meditations that might discourage us at such a time as this. Lord, we want to pray that you'll show us thyself. Come tonight and reveal thyself unto us. We pray that you'll bless especially our meditation of your word. We want to be taught of God. We acknowledge that we need thee to open our understanding. The scriptures tell us of those that went to Emmaus that the Savior opened their understanding. And Lord, we're in need of that experience, and we plead for it tonight. We plead that you'll open our eyes to behold great and wondrous things from out of thy law. That which I see not, teach thou me. We pray, Father, that you might reveal to us truths in your word tonight that we've never known and never seen and never understood before. In that light, Father, we pray, lead us on a little further with thyself. And Lord, help us all to give ourselves, our times, and our talents in the service of the Master. We thank you for the music that has been played at the beginning of the service. Lord, remember the Old Testament times, the days of Elisha, when the minstrel played, the Spirit of the Lord came upon your servant. And Lord, we pray the same will be true tonight. May that experience be repeated in this meeting. Thank you for each that will take part tonight, for Laura and the children and Ken and Ruth as well. May they know the hand of God upon them, Father. We pray that we will be blessed through the special musical items, the messages and song. Oh God, come and touch our hearts this evening. Give us much cause to rejoice at this season as we think, Father, of the great joy that there was at the time the Savior was born. We pray, Father, that we too will experience and express that great joy in our hearts. We remember, Father, that David the psalmist had lost the joy of his salvation. And Lord, we pray that you'll give to us tonight great joy as we think of the love of God towards us, that you sent your Son to be our Savior, to be the Savior of the world. Lord, remember those wise men. They gave their wisdom to Christ and were conscious, Father, no greater thing, no wiser thing, no wiser act that any person could engage in than to give their heart, their life to Christ, to come to him in salvation. And Lord, we pray that as a result of this service tonight, there will be wise men, wise women, even wise young people who will come to Christ in salvation. So answer our prayers, Father, for this meeting tonight. And we're mindful just of those that can't be here because of sickness and infirmity. Lord, be near to them. Those, Father, that are unwell, those that have experienced falls and injuries just in recent days. Lord, may each of them know your hand, your strengthening hand to be upon them just at this hour. And Lord, we do remember those that have lost loved ones, those that mourn, even in recent days, those that feel that vacancy, that emptiness in their home and in their life. Oh God, may they particularly experience a very powerful sense of the Lord's presence with them at this Christmas time. Those that miss deeply loved ones that have been called from this scene of time. And Lord, remember the Beggs family circled down in Ballymena. Lord, be near to them especially. Thank you for the memory of our sister, Mrs. Beggs, and for a life well lived and given in the service of the Master. And Lord, as we think of these dear folk called from our midst and the great need of the witness of the gospel, our prayer is send us others. O God, send others to take their place in coming days. Answer our prayers. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 83, please. We'll sing just three verses together. As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold, as with joy they hailed its light leading, onward beaming bright. Verses 1, 3, and 5, number 83, and we're standing as we sing, please. You to turn in the scriptures, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. We want to read the opening verses of this portion together. Luke chapter 2, the first 14 verses. Luke 2, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. Just to remind you that the influence of the Roman Empire still found upon that whole region around the Mediterranean, still found upon life here in this country. The name Augustus is one example of that. Remember that the month of August comes from the name of Augustus. That would be true probably of most, if not all, of the months of the year. July comes from Julius, Julius Caesar, and so on. The title Augustus was like the pharaohs. It was a title of those that ruled in the days of the Roman Empire. Remember that there was the times of the kings in ancient Rome and then the Republic. And then from Julius Caesar onwards was the time of the Roman Empire itself. So Augustus was like a title. It passed. They stopped using it after a time, and they became known just as the Caesars. So keep that in mind. Augustus is where we get the month August from. Keeps this name in memory or in memorial before us, even in our own day, 2,000 years later. So there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. In the Bible, there's two cities of David. Bethlehem is the city of David by his birth, and then a little later on in the Old Testament, you read that Zion is the city of David because of his reign as king over the joint kingdom of Israel and Judah. So keep that in mind. The city of David here, according to his birth, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day. Just note those words. It emphasizes that the shepherds heard the announcement the day that the Lord Jesus was born. In all probability, they came to the stable the very day that he was born. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Ending just there, the close of the 14th verse, and we're sure the Lord will follow with his blessing. That's the public reading of his word. We're glad to have Ruth and William, and wee Jesse too, in the meeting tonight. And Ruth's going to come and sing a couple of pieces for us just now, please.
story of Jesus right on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus right on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that he fasted, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years that he labored, tell of the sorrows he bore. He was despised and rejected, homeless, afflicted, and poor. Tell me the story of Jesus right on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, tell of his anguish and pain, tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Glory to God in the highest, he paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus right on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Yeah. We're thankful for both of those messages and song. We pray the Lord will bless them to her hearts. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. We take the opportunity to bid you all welcome to the Lord's house on this Sabbath night. We're thankful for your presence. We appreciate you coming to the gospel service on this Christmas Day evening. Some of you have been here at both of the services. We want you to know that we appreciate that, your faithfulness and your support of the meetings and the work of God here. There's some visiting with us in the service tonight, and we appreciate your presence and your support as well. We express to you our thanks for coming along to the meeting to give your support to it this evening. We're thankful for the children and the young people that are here, and those young people that are taking part in the service as well. We appreciate that very much, and those that are a wee bit older as well that are taking part in the service tonight also. We're glad to see our sister, Mrs. Ruth McAree, with us. As we mentioned to you on Wednesday night, Ruth had a fall recently and sustained some injuries We're glad that she's out in the service, and we pray that she'll have a full and a speedy recovery from those injuries. Continue to keep Ruth in your prayers, please. We also welcome those that are watching the service tonight on the live stream, whether that's near or far away. We appreciate your interest in the meetings, and we know that there's some of our own folk that can't be out at the services today because of ill health, and we want you to know that we're thinking of you and pray that you'll have a speedy recovery too. As it is the last Lord's Day of 2022, and it's hard to believe that we've come to that stage so quickly, but we do take the opportunity on behalf of all of the office bearers of the congregation here to thank you, the congregation, for your faithful support of the work of the gospel here in Armagh right throughout this year. At the beginning of the year, there were still some of the COVID restrictions that were in place, so we've been on quite a journey over the last 2.5 years and more with the pandemic. So we're glad that things are back to normality again. We pray that that will continue. We thank you for supporting the meetings. We thank you for your labours, many of you involved in different departments of the witness here. Without your input, without your dedication, the work could not continue. And we thank you too for your financial giving so liberally, so generously. That is the means that keeps this work going. So many bills that are increasing from month to month, from year to year. The Lord provides through us, the Lord provides for us through the generosity of his people, and we want to acknowledge that and thank you for it. And may the Lord bless you all richly, give you a full reward for all of your labours for him. Remember, there's no midweek service this coming Wednesday night because of the holiday period. Keep in mind the service is next Lord's Day, New Year's Day, the 1st of January. The Sunday School and Bible classes are off. They've been off today and will be off again next Sabbath, starting back again on the 8th. The morning service next Sabbath at 11:30. We'll preach in the new motto text for 2023. There is no communion after the morning service because of New Year's Day. And then remember the evening service at 6:30, the gospel meeting. Remember that our sister will be home. She's going to be giving us a little report on her missionary labours out there in Asia. We're looking forward to that. Our brother Paul Elliott will minister in song, and we're hopeful that our brother George Hewitt will be well enough to sing for us as well in that service next Sunday night. The evening meeting, remember, will not be live streamed because of that missionary report that will be given, so we encourage you to come along to the service, and do please remember the half hour of prayer before both meetings. Just to remind you of the special offerings that have been taken, the missionary offerings in recent weeks for Noel Stevenson and his work in the Philippines. The total so far is £835.66. The special Christmas missionary offering for the vehicle appeal, that currently stands at £6,142.97. That's a tremendous offering. It's been tremendous giving, and we thank you for your liberality. Remember, if you haven't been able to and would like to, you can still add to both of those offerings. Remember, the ladies' meeting in January is on the 9th. That's the second Monday night and not the 3rd. So just to remind the ladies of that, and please make that widely known. Take time to look at the literature that's there on the table as you're going from the service tonight, especially the calendars. It's an appropriate time to be distributing those among family and friends. And remember that Bethany have asked that we would announce their watch night service. That's on Saturday evening coming. There's supper at 10:15, and then at 11 o'clock the watch night service itself begins. As a congregation, we have been greatly saddened to learn of the death of Mrs. Margaret Beggs, the wife of one of our most senior and long-standing ministers, the Reverend James Beggs, who was formerly, for well over 30 years, the minister of the Ballymena congregation. Mrs. Beggs passed away suddenly on Friday. She was greatly loved, very well known, very highly respected right throughout our whole denomination, and her death, her passing, will be felt across the whole of the Free Presbyterian Church. The funeral is on Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock in the Ballymena congregation. Do keep those funeral services in your prayers, and if you can, and would like to, many of you would have known Mr. and Mrs. Beggs for quite some time. We encourage you to go along and give your support. As a church here in Armagh, we do want to extend our deepest sympathy to the Reverend Beggs, to the moderator, the Reverend Armstrong, who is a brother-in-law, to the Mission Board Treasurer, Mr. Hamilton, son-in-law. The moderator is a son-in-law, and so too is Mr. Hamilton, and to the whole family circle. We commend them to you as a congregation for your prayers. We're going to sing a couple of verses, please, of number 77. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sings. The first two verses of number 77, and we'll stand together as we sing, please. Thankful to the gardeners and our brother Ken for playing as you were coming into the service. We're going to ask them if they'll play for us again a couple of pieces, or three or four if you'd like to, but we're looking forward to hearing you all again.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. We want to express our thanks to Laura, to the children, to Ken, for their willingness to take part, to participate and play for us tonight. And we want them to know the blessing that that has been. It's good to encourage these young people to use their talents and their gifts in the service of the Lord. We'll have a wee word of prayer together, please. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll continue with us to the end of the service. We thank you for your presence that we've known together already. We're glad to be here, Father. We acknowledge that we have so much to praise and thank thee for. We want to say, for all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to praise him. We want to pray, Father, that in these closing minutes, as we open the Word of God, there might be a greater sense of the Lord's presence and power of his hand upon the meeting. We want to pray, Father, that you might speak to our hearts. Come, Father, and speak through your word. We know that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Pray that some lives might be changed. Remember those wise men that went home another way. And Lord, our prayer is that there might be some that will change their lives by coming to Christ. We pray that that great change of conversion and salvation might take place in their heart and life this very night. Answer these our prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, please. Just for a few minutes, we'd like you to think especially of verses 10 and 11 and the verse 12. It says, "And the angel said unto them," that's unto the shepherds, "fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." We're thinking at this time of the year of the birth of the Lord Jesus, and particularly on this day, the 25th day of December, a day that we set aside to remember and to give thanks and to rejoice in the birth of the Lord Jesus, what is generally described in theological terms as the incarnation, that God was manifest in the flesh. Can I emphasize to you, men and women, that his birth was sure. It was a certainty. It's not something that there's a doubt about. It doesn't belong to the realm of myth or fiction. We know that there are many that pour scorn upon the teaching and the message of the Scriptures. In the days in which we live, the Savior foretold us that there would be mockers in the last days, and there are many that in this day mock the message and the teaching of the Word of God. There are those that would ask those questions, how do you know? There's quite a list of those questions, and one of them is, how do you know there really was a person called Jesus Christ? Well, remember that the date that you write, and many times every week you write the date, remember that that date is a reminder, it is a proof that there was a person called Jesus Christ. His birth was such a significant event in history that all dates are marked from that time, either before Christ or after Christ. This is the year of our Lord, A.D., the year of our Lord, or Anno Domini, 2023. We're soon to pass into the year of our Lord, 2023. So the date, men and women, is a proof of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember that the Bible, too, want to emphasize that especially the record that God has given to us in his word. That's why the Bible is so important. That is why the Bible, men and women, is so precious to us. Remember the record that we have in the Scriptures, the history that we have in Scriptures is an infallible record. It's not a case, you know, that you check history by the Bible. It's a fact that we do it the other way around. We check all history by the teaching of the Word of God. You don't check the Bible by history. God has given us a historical record in His Word, an infallible record. And the details of the birth of the Lord Jesus is especially given in two Gospels, in Matthew's Gospel and in Luke's Gospel. And we have read a little tonight of the passages, the record that's given to us in Luke chapter 2, that tells especially of the coming of the shepherds, their visit to the stable in Bethlehem. There's some things very quickly I want to emphasize about the Lord Jesus that we learn here in this portion. Notice, first of all, His humiliation. If you look at the words of verse 12, the end of the verse, it says, "The babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Just consider that carefully. There, men and women, is a statement of the great humiliation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We sang a little earlier in the meeting the words of that hymn that tells us, "Lo, within a manger lies He who built the starry skies." Just consider that the sovereign God of all the universe, that He deigned to send His Son to be our Savior, to come down into this world, as the Scriptures tell us, and that He took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Remember that the Scriptures teach two estates of Christ. Some of the children and the young people will remember that as they learnt the answers to the questions of the Catechism. In question 23, the answer speaks of His estate of humiliation and exaltation. Those are the two estates of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, you learn of both of those estates. Remember that it says He humbled Himself, took upon Himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But Philippians chapter 2 also says, "Wherefore God hath also highly exalted Him." So there's the humiliation, and then there is the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here, men and women, in the verses before us, in this passage, these words especially, at the end of verse 12, we're taught, we learn a little, it's emphasized for us, the great humiliation of our Savior. I want you to think tonight, in this gospel service, think of how great was His love for you, that He came down to earth from heaven, who was God and Lord of all. Think of how great His love was for you. Think tonight, men and women, of how far down He came when He took that great step. Generates suggested in Philippians chapter 2, there's seven great steps downward that the Savior took in His humiliation. Those words that we've quoted, that He took upon Himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. But you think tonight of how far down the Savior came when He came down to this world. How far down He came so that He could lift you up from the gutter of sin. Just consider that tonight. The psalmist says, "He took me from the fearful pit and from the miry clay." But the humiliation of Christ was that He came all the way down from heaven to earth in order to lift you up from your sins. And remember, Christian, that we learn as we consider the humiliation of Christ, we learn the example that He has set for us. Sometimes we're so proud, we're so puffed up, we think of ourselves more highly than we ought. That chapter, Philippians 2, says, when it talks about Christ humbling Himself, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We're to have that same outlook. We're not just taught to follow the Savior in the example of His life and conduct, but in His very thinking as well. We're to have the mind of Christ. We sometimes sing those words, "May the mind of Christ, my Savior, dwell in me from day to day." His humiliation. Think as well, we learn something here of the passion or the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, it also says, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Can I stress to you, men and women, that at his birth, we're also taught something about his death. Can I encourage you to take the time to compare the birth and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's some very interesting facts, some very interesting comparisons between the two. Can I mention what we could call the cave? You know, many suggest that the stable in which the Savior was born was not a wooden building, a wooden structure, as you often see in the pictures and the Christmas cards and so on. Many believe that the stable was a cave that was generally in keeping with the practice of those times. That's where they would have kept the animals from shelter. So that cave would remind you not just of his birth, but also of his death. It reminds us of the tomb, as he would have been born then in an area that would have been cut out of the rock. So too it was with his birth, the tomb in which, so too it was with his death, the tomb in which he was laid. So there's a comparison there. But there's also a comparison with the clothes at his birth and his death. There is a lovely book, a book of studies by Dr. Paisley, entitled The Garments of Christ. I commend that to you, to your reading and to your study. Often in Wales, and it was the practice of the believers there, even before we arrived, whenever they were introducing people to the ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church, that was one of the first books they would have given to Christians in that South Wales area. Many of them were just familiar with what they saw of Mr. Paisley on the television, the politician, the political leader. They were not as familiar with Dr. Ian Paisley as the Bible teacher. And that book changed their outlook and their opinion. So the garments of Christ. And it begins, of course, with the first garment, which was the garment of his birth. The garment that we have here, that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Can I point out to you, men and women, that the swaddling clothes was a garment of death? It indicates the poverty of the family. It was the only garment, the only clothing they had for the newborn babe, the infant child. The swaddling clothes is what they would have wrapped someone in when they died in order to prepare them for burial, to prepare them for the tomb. If you read the story of Alexander Peden, remember he's known as the prophet of the covenant, one of the great covenanters in Scotland. Whenever John Brown of Haddington got married, Alexander Peden in prophecy said to John Brown's wife to keep a winding sheet close at hand, for she wouldn't have her husband long. And that was a prophecy that was fulfilled. The winding sheet was just similar to the swaddling bands spoken of here in this passage. In that context, the comparison between his birth and his death, the word wrapped that is used here, it's, you shall find the babe wrapped. Remember, it's often said that God's gift, just like our gifts, we wrap them before we present them. So it was with the gift of God, the greatest gift ever given, the gift of a son, and with him, the gift of eternal life. But that word wrapped is very interesting because it's used not only of his birth, it's also used of his death. I wonder, did you ever notice that? The Bible says of Joseph of Arimathea, and remember that he was assisted at that time by Nicodemus. They took the body of the Savior down from the cross, and it says that he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. So his body was wrapped at his birth, and it was also wrapped at his death. And we learn, men and women, as we think of the infant child there in the manger being wrapped in swaddling bands, we learn the purpose for which he was born. We learn that he came to die. He came to die not for himself, but he came to die for you and I. Daniel said that Messiah would be cut off, but not for his own sins. Remember, he came as a substitute. He came to bear the punishment for our sins. The Bible says of Mary, a little later on in this chapter, she pondered all of these things in her heart. I encourage you to take time to ponder the great truths, the great story, the details that God has recorded of the birth of Christ. But ponder this especially, that he came to die. And he came to die for you, to bear your punishment on Calvary's tree. He came to die in your place and in your stead. The passion of Christ. We learn here as well about the invitation of Christ. It says in verse 12, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Can I say that just before moving on, there's another comparison there between his birth and his death. Ye shall find, they found the Lord Jesus in the cave, in the stable. But remember those disciples at the time of his death, when they came very early on the first day of the week, resurrection day, they didn't find the Lord Jesus in the tomb. He is not here, for he is risen. I suppose in a sense that's not a comparison, that's a contrast between his birth and his death. But it says, ye shall find the babe. Really what the angels were saying to the shepherds there, they were giving them an invitation to go to Bethlehem, an invitation to go to the stable, to come to Christ, to come to see the newborn child, the newborn Savior, and to come and to fall down and to worship him. And as you think of that invitation of the angels, remember that these men were lowly shepherds. They were amongst the lowest in society at that time. And the lesson is, men and women, as you think of that, is that all are invited. All are invited to come to Christ. All are included in the invitation of the gospel. That is the breadth of it. None are excluded. If you think of the words there, if you notice the end of verse 10, it says, which shall be to all people. So it's not just to Jewish people, not just to some people, to some nations, to people from certain areas. It shall be to all people. He is, as the Samaritan men said to the woman at Sychar, whenever they had come and trusted Christ themselves, that this is the Savior of the world. And we want you to see that tonight, men and women. He came to be the Savior of the world. The wise men, well, they were the Gentiles. Remember, they came from Persia, came from the east. The shepherds, well, they were the Jewish people that came to visit the Savior. So it's clear, all are invited. The gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is for men and women of every nation and of every background. The Savior himself taught that. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. So it's clear, men and women, all are invited. Think of the words of Isaiah the prophet, ho. That's a word that you often hear at this Christmas time in a different context. Remember, it's recorded in the scriptures. In fact, in Zechariah, there's a verse in chapter 2, I think it's verse 6, where the word is repeated twice, ho, ho. It's a word of emphasis. It's a word that draws our attention to the statement that is being made. So here's something to take note of. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. So it's clear, men and women, everyone can come to Jesus Christ. Everyone can experience his salvation. Can I ask you, will you respond to that invitation tonight? Will you come to him for mercy and forgiveness? Remember, the only one who is excluded is those who exclude themselves, those who refuse God's offer of mercy. The final thing I'll emphasize is the rejection of Christ. Look there at the words at the end of verse 7. It says, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. It's not a solemn statement. It's solemn even from a humanitarian, a compassionate standpoint. The passage says that Mary was great with child. So to think of a young couple coming into the town A young lady in that condition and no room, no compassion, no help or support that was given to them. But as you think of our Savior, Isaiah says he was despised and he was rejected of men. And that was true not just of Christ at his death, not just of Christ in the preaching of the gospel. That was true of the Lord Jesus at his birth. No room for them in the inn. If you think of the whole story of his birth, remember he was rejected in the palace. Whenever Herod heard the news of the wise men that they were coming from the east, where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east. Well, there was no welcome for Christ in the palace. Remember the diabolical act of Herod at that time when he sent out his soldiers to slaughter all the little ones in Bethlehem from 2 years old and down. No welcome in the palace. Rejected in the palace. Rejected as well in the temple among all the Jewish leaders, because Herod sent for the wise men and asked of them where Christ should be born, and they knew the very passage. They were able to quote from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, thou Bethlehem Ephrata, and so on. But they had no interest. They didn't go to Bethlehem to find the Savior and to worship him. Rejected in the temple. And we learn here, rejected in the inn as well. The birth of Christ was not universally received. Even way back then, many rejected the Lord Jesus. You know the hymn we often sing, "Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in?" That hymn is based on the words of Revelation 3 and 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I want to ask that question tonight, men and women. Have you any room for Jesus? The hymn was written by Major Daniel Webster Whittle. He was a Civil War soldier. After the Civil War, he devoted himself to evangelism. He wrote that hymn. He based it upon a poem that he found. He revised the words of the poem. The poem came from an unknown source or an unknown author. Many years later, in the early part of the 20th century, there was an open-air meeting been held in London, the centre of London. There was two men that were passing by that open-air meeting. They had their baskets with them filled with pigeons. They enjoyed a wee bit of pigeon racing, the homing pigeons and so on. As the two men passed by, they heard the words of that hymn been sung, "Room for business, room for pleasure." Those words especially struck home to the hearts of one of those men. Room for business, room for pleasure. But for Christ, the crucified, not a place that he can enter in your heart for which he died. That man, his name was Bill. He said, that's me. He said, "This friend, you can go and fly the pigeons if you want, but I'm going home." Took his pigeons home. He put them back in the pigeon loft. His wife was surprised that he came back so early. She saw him going out again and she followed him to see what had given him the change of outlook, the change of heart. By the time they got back to where the meeting was being held, they had moved from the open air into the church or into the chapel to continue the meeting. And he and his wife came in and they sat down, listened to the rest of that service, and both of them were gloriously saved together that day. So let me ask you tonight, men and women, this Christmas night, have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks on your heart's door and asks admission. Sinner, will you let him in? Think of that verse that spoke to that dear man. Room for business, room for pleasure. Are those words so appropriate for this time of the year in which we're found? People have room for business, all the business that goes with Christmas, all the pleasure that goes with Christmas. But for Christ, the crucified, not a place that he can enter in your heart for which he died. You know, it's sometimes been emphasized, those words of Major Whittle's were written especially with an evangelistic outreach in mind, an evangelistic thrust. They were written particularly for the unsaved.
But the question can be asked of the Christian too, and maybe needs to be asked at this time. Sadly many today, no room for church, no room for the meetings, no room for Christ, no room just to come to the Lord's house to lift their heart and give thanks to God for sending His Son to be their Savior. Can I ask you tonight, men and women, will you reject Christ as this generation did at the time of His birth? Will you reject the gospel, the invitation of the gospel? Will you reject tonight the greatest gift? Remember, no greater gift was ever given. No greater gift than the gift of Christ, and with Him the gift of eternal life. Will you reject tonight the greatest gift that ever was given? Think of this just in closing. Imagine refusing a gift. Think of the gifts you've bought. You took the time just to search out that gift, gave a lot of thought to it. You took the time to go out and find the gift and to buy the gift, to pay the price, bring it home and to prepare it and to wrap it up so nicely and put a little tag upon it. And then imagine giving that gift and that gift being refused. You think of how you would feel, the pain, the hurt that you might experience. Well, think, men and women, of the fact that multitudes do. Think of God's gift. As I've said, no greater gift was ever given. Think of how precious that gift is. Think of the price that He paid, the death of His Son, the shedding of His precious blood. And yet multitudes, even at this Christmas time, reject the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember, let's sound the solemn warning. The result of that, if you continue to reject His gift, is one day He will reject you. On that day when you stand before Him, if you die still having rejected Christ as your Savior, on that day when you stand before Him, He will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, for I never knew you." Some great truths then that we learn here about the Savior. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We're turning to number 84, please, as we finish. Number 84, Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger, to sorrow and shame. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, singing for me. We'll sing verses 1 and 2, please. 1 and 2 only of 84, and again we'll rise it.
Sorrow and shame. Oh, it was
Amen. Thank you, Father, for the service tonight, for your hand upon it. Thank you for the blessing we've known, your presence that we've felt. We thank you, Father, for the good word of God. We remember that Peter said, you've given us a more sure word of prophecy, one to we do well that we take heed. Thank you for the certainty of the scriptures. Heaven and earth shall pass, but your word will never pass away. And Lord, we thank you for all that you've shown us tonight about our Savior. We want to say to thee, in the words of the apostle, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We're conscious, Father, of our inadequacy to speak of the Savior as we ought. We're conscious that even time and eternity itself will not exhaust this great theme of your love for us and what you did through Christ our Savior. And Lord, we want thee to receive tonight the deepest thanks of our heart for ever loving us and for sending Christ to be our Savior. Thank you for the day that you saved us. We're glad that we can say, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. We give ourselves into your care for this holiday time. Watch over us as we journey homeward. Lord, be with us, guide us, bless us, and use us through this week. And we ask thee to spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, and until at our Father's loved abode our souls arrive in peace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.